Pastor of New Heights Baptist Church. He's been there for 19 years, and we praise God for his ministry there, for the church there. And he's our special speaker this weekend as we celebrate 40 years. And he was so kind as to bring his whole family with us. And in fact, I think his daughter and Brother Friedenstein, I forget his first name. I went to school with his older brother, Adam. But what was your first name again, Brother Friedenstein? Paul, that's right, Paul. They went to West Coast Baptist College, so you already know he's got a great taste in which college to go to and send his family to. But we're so honored. They're from Oklahoma, and they actually came down to visit with them, and they all got to go to the island this weekend, and they loved it, and so it's pretty awesome. But we're so excited that they're here with us and excited about the message this morning. He had a great message last night on moving forward from the book of Nehemiah, and we're excited about what God's doing in their church and in our church. But before he brings the message this morning, we're going to have a special from Miss Linda, and then after that, Pastor, come and whatever the Lord's laid on your heart, please preach it this morning.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see, and all I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. For great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see, and all I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine with 10,000s beside. For great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see, and all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. It's such a pleasure to be here, and thank you for your kind reception, and I thank Pastor Mendoza for inviting me to come and preach in English. It's not my first language. My first language is Spanish, and although I can carry on a conversation fairly fluently, when it comes time to preaching and quoting verses from Scripture, it's a little difficult because I studied in Spanish. So, but I'll do my best, and I hope you can understand everything I say. Amen? If you'll go with me to Acts chapter 2, and we'll read verse 41 through 47. Great is His faithfulness in our lives. Amen? And what a great truth behind that song. It just reminds us that we're here today is because of His unwavering faithfulness towards us. I want to speak to you this morning on the topic characteristics of a healthy Christian, and a healthy church. Characteristics of a healthy Christian and a healthy church. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. If we'll stand to our feet so we can read together, and I'll read verse 41, you read verse 42, and so on, and we'll join in verse 47. Does that sound all right?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. Everyone together, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Father, I ask that you bless this time in your word. Help me to preach it, and for your message to come across clearly, Lord. And bless this time together. May every decision at the end would be from your Holy Spirit in our working in our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Early this year, January, at the beginning of the year, I saw this infomercial on probiotics, on these little pills for your digestive system, that they're supposed to restore your digestive system. And I started, you know, brushing it off and not paying attention. But I, as I saw a little more and more of it, I got very interested because they were talking about our stomach being like the gas tank in a car, that sometimes it can fill up with gunk, and then your car is not going to function the way it should, and it'll start stalling on you and not having the same power and losing gas mileage and et cetera, et cetera. And that's how the stomach is the gas tank of your body, they say in this infomercial, and it fills up with bad bacteria, and that bad bacteria can have so many bad effects on your metabolism and your everyday life, and it needs to be replaced with good bacteria, and that's what those probiotic pills are. And they said that our digestive system affects our liver, our pancreas, our kidneys, and that they started going through characteristics of an unhealthy digestive system, signs, if you will. And they said if you're tired early in the day, if you have low energy, that's a sign that your digestive system, something's not right. If you have cravings for sweets, and you know, you eat a meal and you're just not satisfied and you have to have sweets or in the middle of the day, that's a sign that your digestive system is not clean. It's not working the way it should. If you need to drink coffee, if you have to take caffeine, energy drinks to keep going, you know, those monsters and all that stuff. If you're not sleeping well at night, if you wake up often and you don't feel rested. If you have upset stomach, gas, heartburn, reflux, indigestion, constipation, etc., 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 you know, regularly or often, those are symptoms that your digestive system is not working properly. If you're overweight, and I said, okay, I get it, you know. Your digestive system is not right. Ladies, if you have acne, pimples, brown spots in your face, those are all signs of an unhealthy digestive system. On the other side, characteristics of a healthy digestive system is you have more energy. You go longer in the day and you still feel energy. You have a faster metabolism. You don't have the cravings for sweets. You don't have hunger in between meals. You don't need the caffeine to keep going. You sleep all night and you wake up feeling rested. Man, I was listening to this. I was saying, I need all those things. if you're alert, and you have good memory of things, because another thing about not being alert is also the downside is you forget things. You're just not focused. But if you have a good healthy digestive system, these are the signs of a good digestive system. You're going to be more focused and alert. If you have normal weight, you know, clear complexion. If you don't have digestive issues, those are all signs of a good and healthy digestive system. The reason we struggle with these types of issues that I mentioned is due to years of bad habits and an unhealthy diet, eating a lot of junk food, a lot of hamburgers and french fries and shakes and all that stuff that we love. Now, there comes a point in life, normally after 40, I remember when I turned 40 years old and the young people in our church threw a over-the-hill party. Now, this year I turned 50. That was 10 years ago. And it's true when they say over-the-hill. I mean, you start seeing things in your body that you weren't used to before in your 30s and your 20s. They start catching up to you. All those bad habits start catching up to you. But before one starts getting seriously ill, I mean, I remember going to the doctor a couple years ago, and he said, "You're still fine on your glucose and your cholesterol, but you're like right on the border. I mean, you're right on the edge of having too high glucose. That's you know, your pre-diabetes, and your cholesterol is a little bit high, and you could go, you know, and all of a sudden that'll create hypertension and you know, of course, diabetes. Before you start getting seriously ill with things like pancreatitis, liver disease, colon cancer, man, all those things that scare us, you start seeing symptoms. You start seeing signs in your own body, and that's the time to make changes. And I'm one of those guys that used to say, you know, until the doctor tells me I cannot eat this anymore, he orders me, I'll still eat water. I mean, I'd rather enjoy my life. But, you know, I was looking at all those symptoms, all those signs. I'm thinking, I'm going through all this. I feel sluggish. I don't have energy. I don't rest well at night. I have digestive issues. And I have to be drinking coffee all day long, et cetera, et cetera. And I started thinking, I need to make changes. I'm turning 50 this year. This was back in January. I'm turning 50. And I already feel I cannot go the whole day. I get tired, and I just want to rest. And I'm serving God in the ministry. I want to be productive. I want to have energy. I want to do more for the Lord. I can't. It's not about looking good. It's not about having a slender physique anymore. It's about just living longer and not having these issues. I don't want to be, you know, wheeled around in a wheelchair when I'm 65, 70 years old. I still want to be serving God. I want to have energy. I want to have good health. And so I started making some decisions in my life. And believe it or not, in March, I was weighing almost 290 pounds, just shy of 290. And a couple years before that, I had blown up to 320 plus pounds. And since April, we started just not on a diet or anything, just eating healthier and watching our portions and just being more conscious of what we consume. And I've dropped 40 pounds since April to now. And I'm wearing a size, you know, 46 pants, pair of pants, when I was wearing size 52 and 54 and 56 at one point. So I'm halfway, I believe. I mean, I want to lose another 40 pounds, 45 pounds. And I think I'll be where I should be at my age now. But I feel so much more energy. I see the difference in my life. I mean, I can go longer in the day. I can, you know, I have, it's 7, 8 o'clock at night, and I still have energy. And it feels wonderful. And I said, I can only imagine how I'll feel when I drop another 45 pounds. Now, this is not a health awareness a lesson or anything like that, you know, and I'm sorry if I make everybody feel guilty. I mean, I've been there, and I'm still there. I mean, I'm still overweight. It's terrible when you go see the doctor. I had a commercial driver's license, a CDL, and I couldn't renew it because I was so obese, by their terminology, you know, that they say I needed to pass this sleep apnea test, and I didn't pass it. And I needed so many exemptions to be able to renew my CDL driver's license. I didn't renew it. I have to drop weight first, and I have to not be in that bracket considered obese so that I can renew my CDL. Hey, I'm being transparent here. That's been my struggle. I mean, I hadn't weighed this weight right now. I feel wonderful because I haven't weighed this since probably the first year of being married. I'm serious. I mean, when I got married, I was weighing about 178 pounds. And it's married life is wonderful. You know, one of the things is you gain all this weight. Anyways, but the same is, listen up, the same is with our spiritual health. If we want to see what a healthy church and what healthy Christians look like, all we have to do is go to the book of Acts chapter 2 and see the New Testament church. And that's what we've read just now. First century Christianity. Several years ago there was this fad, and I think they're still going on in a lot of contemporary circles of pastoring or being a member of the 21st century church. And I love that theme and a little booklet that Pastor Chappell wrote several years ago about going back to the first century church. because we don't need to change what is already perfect. Amen. And so the church was perfect at the beginning in the first century and has evolved, but not all those changes are good. Sometimes we've strayed away from what we should be. Anyhow, if we look at these verses that we read and just a few previous ones, we'll see the signs of a healthy church. And I think it's appropriate for this anniversary Sunday. Amen? What does a healthy church and what does a healthy Christian look like? What are the characteristics? What are the signs? And look with me, chapter 2, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and the first verse there, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with," say it with me, "one accord in one place." Now, right now, we are in one place, but not necessarily of one accord. I mean, that's what every pastor dreams and wishes. And that's what the Lord wants for our church, for our lives, to be united. And that's the first characteristic, the first sign of a healthy church, that it's a united. Unity is a good characteristic of a healthy Christian life and a church. Unity, being of one accord. And by the way, the church was not started on the day of Pentecost. It already existed. The Lord started his own church. Amen. But there was a group. There was a group of about 120 folks there meeting. They had been praying for 40, 50 days. They had been praying and waiting for the promise of the Lord to be fulfilled, you know, that they would receive the power of the Holy Ghost and that they would preach the gospel with boldness, and that, you know, and this is exactly what we see happen in chapter 2 in the book of Acts. That small group of 120, they were small, but they were united. Now, the opposite of united is divided. Amen? A characteristic of an unhealthy church is a divided church. A characteristic of an unhealthy spiritual life in a Christian is a divisive spirit. Look at verse 44, chapter 2, verse 44. After the day of Pentecost, after 3,000 souls were added to that church, look at verse 44. And all means all. Everyone that believed were together and had all things common. In verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. See, even after they grew, they managed to remain united in one accord. And let me tell you, that takes work and diligence. One accord means being of one mind. Like I said, we can be together in one place, and yet our minds be miles apart. Our thoughts be completely divided. Be so distant from one another. But they were not only together in one place, they were united. They were of one accord, of one mind. That was the, we read later on in Philippians chapter 2. If you please go there with me, Philippians chapter 2. And verse 1, this was the Apostle Paul's desire for that church at Philippi. And he says in verse 1, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And I believe, like I said, this is our Lord's desire for our church, for this church, for our families, for our marriages. And by the way, Christian unity begins at the home. It begins in our marriages. And sometimes the reason why there's no like-mindedness and accord in a church is because families, marriages in our church are not united. They're divided. And that's why parents start seeing that trouble with their kids as they grow older, as they grow into their teenage years and even young adults, trying to get away from God's ways and departing God's ways, leaving the church because they did not see the same united spirit in their parents or the unity that should have been there. And I've always taught our couples in church, you know, if you want to avoid a lot of heartaches and headaches and worries and problems as your children grow older and become young adults, you need to be of one accord as a couple. You need to be united. Because if your kids sense that one of you is, you know, that both of you are not going in the same direction, that's where rebellious is going to get a hold of right there in their lives, and they're going to use that to rebel against parental authority and rebel against God's ways in their lives. So anyhow, that's another message. But it takes work to be united, to be of one accord, and it takes humility. Look at Philippians chapter 2 there in verse 3, because the Apostle Paul keeps on writing, and he says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind," that's humility, "let us esteem each other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And I believe the Spirit of the Lord is a spirit of unity. Now, the enemy of unity is pride. That is the problem behind division. It's pride. Strife, an unforgiving spirit, an unaccepting spirit, a selfish attitude, all are evidences of pride, and pride is a result of a carnal mind. Behind strife, behind envy, behind bitterness are carnal Christians. Am I getting everybody understanding? Amen. So that's the first characteristic, the first sign is unity. Number two, look at Acts chapter 2, verse 40. "And with many other words, did he," what's the next word there? "Testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation." The second sign of a healthy church and a healthy Christian is the testimony of the gospel. Soul winning. Amen. That's another good sign. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. "And daily, not once a week, not once in a while, but daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." A spiritually healthy church and a spiritually healthy Christian will consistently and continually give the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5, the Lord said, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." See, if you're abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will bear fruit. And the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Verse 8, the Lord continues saying, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." In verse 16, he says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you." A healthy Christian will want to tell others about his Savior. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Aren't you thankful of your salvation? Amen. Amen. For the Lord's mercy on your life, The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. Now, who have you told about Jesus lately? Who have you shared your salvation with lately? Look at what happens when a Christian is not spiritually healthy. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Leave your place, keep your place there in Acts, please. But 2 Timothy chapter 1. Timothy was a spiritual son of the Apostle Paul, his disciple. And he's trying to admonish his disciple here because something was going on with Timothy. And Paul knew it. So he writes them in verse 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore, what? Ashamed of the testimony of who? Of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And see, he's trying to exhort his disciple to not be ashamed to witness, to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because that fire had been. I'm thinking of the word that needs to go there, but I don't remember. But anyways, he needed to revive. He needed a revival in his own life. You know what I mean? A characteristic of an unhealthy Christian or an unhealthy church is fear, shame, or just plain indifference. Just plain indifference. Not caring. And you know what? All of us have to check ourselves often in that area. Because when a Christian is healthy, spiritually healthy, he wants to tell others about Jesus Christ. Number 3, verse 41, Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The first part, then they that gladly received his what? Word. Were baptized, and the same day where they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The third thing, and I'm going to go fast with this, is souls saved, fruit. 3,000 souls believed, they heard, they accepted Christ. And in verse 47, it said, also reads, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord will add new converts to a church that is of one accord, that it's united, and is busy soul winning. I'm going to repeat that. The Lord will add new converts to a church that is of one accord or united and is busy soul winning. If we are soul winning but not seeing fruit, not seeing results, something's not right, and it's not with God's plan, because God's plans never fails, and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, amen? The obedience to the Great Commission still works. But if we are going soul winning, if we're not seeing fruit personally or as a church, it's because something's not right. Number 4, verse 42, Acts 2:42. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And in verse 45, we read that they gladly received his word. The fourth characteristic of a healthy Christian, spiritually healthy Christian or a church, is the faithfulness to the teaching and preaching of God's word. Or in other words, hunger and thirst for spiritual food, for the word of God. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. In 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, in that last verse, Paul, I believe Paul was the writer of the book of Hebrews, was chastising those Hebrew believers because they hadn't grown the way they should have. They were immature Christians, spiritually unhealthy. Because listen to me, maturity is the result of a healthy spiritual growth. And spiritual growth is the result of a good and balanced diet of the spiritual food, the spiritual word of God. Acts chapter 20, verse 26 and 27, the Apostle Paul charges his disciples, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I don't know about you, but I thank God that I got saved and I grew up in a church where the pastor preached the whole counsel of God. And I believe you have such a pastor here because I've heard him preach. But if you're not growing the way you should be growing spiritually, if you're not maturing, it's not because you don't have somebody teaching you and preaching to you. It's because maybe you're not paying attention. You're not listening. You're not learning. Because, you know, the law of the seven laws of teaching and learning, right? The first one is the student has to pay attention. Amen. Yeah, the teacher has to teach so that the students can learn, they can understand, but the student's job is to learn. And that's why we come to church, to learn. And to learn, you have to pay attention. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. And by the way, in order to pay attention to learn, you have to come to church. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe that as we grow in our Christian walk, we ought to be more faithful, not less faithful. We ought to be more consistent, not less consistent. And some Christians is the other way around. As time passes on, they grow less faithful and less consistent. And it should be the other way. The Christian life is about going forward, not going backwards. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, he writes, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, which is the word of God. A more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Listen to me. A symptom of bad spiritual health is unfaithfulness to church services. Disinterest in God's, the word of God's teaching and preaching. Laziness. Falling asleep during the service. Apathy. Being easily distracted with this or looking at your watch, etc., etc. So a characteristic of a healthy spiritual life for a Christian is being faithful to the teaching and preaching of God's word. Number 5, verse 42. Moving on, because I got about 9 minutes left here on my timer. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. You know what another sign is of a good, healthy, spiritually healthy church? Fellowship. And also of a healthy Christian wanting to have fellowship with other believers. Good, sweet Christian fellowship. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. I prefer the fellowship of God's people to any other people. And it's sweet to have that fellowship together. You know, a sign that something's not right is when everybody's rushing to leave and to get out of here as soon as possible. And another sign could be that the preacher went long and the service took too long, you know. Or you're tired, you got to go to work. But you know, Christians ought to mingle afterwards and have sweet fellowship together. That's a good sign. Inviting one another to each other's homes and having good fellowship. Not gossiping, having good, sweet fellowship. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Symptoms of bad health, bad spiritual health. 1 Corinthians 3:1, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Man, you can tell when somebody is not right. They don't want to fellowship with others, or they're always in strife or fighting with this brother, with that sister. They don't get along with others. They have problems with others. Amen. Number 6, verse 42. It says, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Another sign of a healthy church and a healthy, spiritually healthy Christian is consistent and persistent prayer. The Lord said, for without me ye can do nothing. But James wrote, the problem with us is that we don't pray or we don't ask. Sometimes it's because we don't know how to pray. A healthy church and a healthy Christian prays. The absence of prayer is a symptom of self-sufficiency, and that is a result of a prideful heart. Number 7, verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. Another sign of a healthy, spiritually healthy church and a Christian is generosity in giving. Now, you know, they did something crazy here, I think. They sold all their possessions. And I believe they did that because they expected the Lord to return in their lifetime. And I believe that's how we as Christians ought to live every day, expecting the Lord to return. But, you know, I don't think the pastor here, any pastor, is asking for you to sell all your possessions and give it away to the Lord's work. But we ought to be faithful in our tithing, and we have to be generous in our giving. And I believe that's a sign of a spiritually healthy Christian, generosity in giving. Our giving is evidence of where our heart is, of who we love. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Giving is a sign of love. And that's what the Lord spoke of in a Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:19-21-24. That giving is a measuring tool of where and how our heart is doing. Where our love for God is. When offerings go down, it's normally a symptom that Christians' hearts are not where they should be. Amen. Number 8, Acts 2:46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from the house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. That's another symptom, a good symptom. Gladness and singleness of heart. The Bible calls it, in Proverbs, calls that person the simple person. And let me tell you something. The Christian life ought to be and should be a simple life. It is when we are not walking with the Lord and not growing as we should that we complicate things. The Christian life is not complicated. It is simple. And that's another sign of a spiritually healthy Christian life. Simpleness of heart. Singleness of heart. And how important it is to have that is, you know, the opposite of this is malice, envy, jealousy, anger, resentment, bitterness. And bitter people in church are the kind of people that will that don't smile, they don't sing, they don't praise the Lord. They have a contrary spirit attitude. And when you ask them why, they say, "Oh, it's because I know things. I've seen things." And that's the problem, see? You don't have that simple Christian life that you should anymore, a singleness of heart. You have listened to the wrong conversation, you've been looking at the wrong things, and you've poisoned your heart. And that's why there's bitterness and anger and resentment. And you don't have that unifying spirit and that joy of the Lord, of your salvation, because you let things come into your heart that have corrupted your heart. Amen, someone. In verse 9, and number 9, verse 47, to finish up, I got 2.5 minutes. I want to stay with the time that I was given. Verse 47, praising what? God. The true worship and praise is another sign, or a joyful heart, a good spiritual health. Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3, my favorite passage of Scripture, I believe. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Do you remember how your life was before Jesus saved you? You remember, the misery you were in? You were buried in the miry clay and in the mud of your sins, and that's where the Lord reached down and took you out of. And that, remember the joy when you first got saved? I'm not gonna let petty things and attitudes ruin or rob me of my joy, or let sin in my life that I shouldn't leave there and rob me of my joy, my usefulness for the Lord. I want to keep that praising spirit, that worship in my attitude, continue saying, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Do you remember Paul and Silas when they were arrested? Not for doing anything evil, not for breaking the law, but for preaching God's word. They were beaten and they were in chains in a prison, not like the prisons nowadays, but real jail cells and prisons and a terrible place. And at midnight, they could hear them praying and singing praises unto the Lord. Because see, When you have a healthy spiritual heart, a spiritual walk with the Lord, circumstances are not going to rob you of your joy and your praising and worshiping the Lord. And people that normally don't worship and don't praise and don't have a joyful attitude always claim that it's because of this happening in their lives, because that happened, because so-and-so did this to me, and they're using that as an excuse. But the problem is the heart. Your spiritual health. And last, verse 47. And the Lord, praising God, and having favor with all the people. Favor with all the people. Another sign of a spiritually healthy life in a Christian or a church is a good testimony with those outside. Oh boy, that's my timer. Listen, we ought to be known for our goodness, for our good works, for our good disposition, for our good example, for our good attitudes, for a good testimony. What opinion do people outside the church, maybe your family members, unsafe family members, co-workers, schoolmates, have of you? Are you starting to see symptoms in your life of a bad spiritual health? What are you going to do about it? Look at Psalm 103, verse 1, and we'll finish there. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. I like that. who redeemeth thy life from the from destruction, who crown thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. If there's anyone that can heal a sick heart, mend a broken heart, restore an unhealthy life, and forgive us and cleanse us from all sin, is our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all evil. Now tonight, in Spanish, I'm going to preach, how does one lose his good spiritual health? But you know, I'm talking to you about characteristics of a good spiritual health in your life as a Christian and as a church. How is it today? If something's not right in your life, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to not only forgive you, but he wants to cleanse you of all evil. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for the opportunity to preach this morning. And I hope that, and I pray, Lord, that something of what has been taught and said would just grab somebody's heart this morning. Bless the invitation. Thank you for your word. Thank you for our salvation. Let us, of all things kept and that we should care for, let us care for our heart, our spiritual walk with you, our spiritual health. Because before it is too late, oh, how I've seen Christians in my short 19 years of pastoring, but I've seen so many Christians not be careful with their spiritual health. And by the time they realize it, it's too late. They are so cold spiritually, so distant from the Lord, so full of bitterness and anger. They've complicated their life so much that they just leave church. Or they stay, but they become useless to you. They don't bear fruit anymore. They become stumbling blocks to others. Oh, Father, help us to be healthy spiritually. And to whatever we need to confess and get right with you, that we may do so, not only today, but every day of our lives. And every time we come to church, that we would come ready to do your will, for you to speak to our hearts. Bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
As we continue really quick, I want to pray just as as the pastor was saying, just maybe God spoke to you this morning and just about your health.